Morning. It's a joy to be here again. I first stood here 24 years ago. Long time ago. Some of you look a little older. Imagine that. And Daniel, it's good to see you. He was for 25 years, I suppose. 24, I'm sorry. A teacher of our third and fourth grade. Okay, well, he was a fantastic leader in our children's program. It's good to have you back. JJ, if you're watching, thank you for offering me this opportunity to share my 13,000 photographs from South Africa. Well, you'll be happy to know, unfortunately. I've been persuaded not to do that. But I'm happy to come to Houston, sit down with you as you lie there doing nothing, and show you all my pictures. He wanted me to, rather than share all those photographs, to preach on the text for this day, the historical passage from the book of Acts. Luke writes this story of what is the beginning of the churches launching into spreading the gospel throughout the world. So we'll read from Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, a mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where the disciples were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard speaking in their own language, the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these from Galilee? And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and yada, yada, yada." You know, that list of places that you can't say or speak. "In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What's this mean?' Others sneered, though, and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk, as you suppose, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you come back at 9 tonight, the story may be different, but Peter doesn't tell us that. This is what was spoken," he said, "by the prophet Joel. 'In the last day it will be, God declares, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, men and women, in those days I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." May we pray, and I'll pray a prayer that some of you know, and you're invited to join with me. Come, Holy Spirit, Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. A question this morning. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do, and I pray you do, by God. Several thousand religious pilgrims gathered in Jerusalem, and they certainly came to believe in the Holy Spirit. They'd come to the city to celebrate Pentecost, a Jewish holiday, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks. And there came this awesome scene that maybe resembled an NFL football game or a Taylor Swift concert. They were amazed, astonished, bewildered, perplexed at this seeming reversal of what had taken place at the Tower of Babel that you may remember from the book of Genesis. This was the beginning of that explosive sharing of the gospel that shed good news across the world and through the centuries. They came to believe in the Holy Spirit. I'll ask you again, though, what about you? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do, and I pray you do, by God. What is it, this Holy Spirit? Well, it's one of those manifestations or personas of the triune God, God the Creator, Jesus the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, who's the Counselor, the Advocate, the Comforter. That Holy Spirit, as you heard, can be like mighty wind rushing through and around the whole world. It's that Holy Spirit of love that empowers the energy of life that can unite creation. Have you ever seen the Spirit of love? Like in the love of soulmates united in marriage. Like the love that parents have for their children, and the love of nations and comrades that causes one to lay down his or her life for the sake of someone or for all of us. I have, and you have, seen that Spirit of love connecting, binding. It's like God in between and within. I've even seen it recently in the wildlife, where there was the love of a lioness, the love of an elephant, the love of a giraffe, a bird, a zebra, that love for their offspring, the Madonna and child. Well, you can see that over and over in the world. The love of a mother and a father everywhere, in every culture, in every religion, in every nation. You see it when you see a mother and a father with the child. You know what I mean? That love is, well, the source is that Holy Spirit, God within and between. I pray a word of thanks when I see that Holy Spirit of love in the church, among you and between us, as we're gathered here out of love for Jesus Christ and for one another. It's that Holy Spirit of love that brings the unity of our faith through the healing and saving power of God that we know in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I pray you do as well. Paul writes in Galatians, "In Christ you are all children of God through faith. As many of you, as were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ. By the Holy Spirit, we know. I pray that you and I live in that spirit when we have that blessed assurance of our salvation that brings forgiveness and power to become who God wants us to be and who we want to be. I pray that you and I live with that spirit that brings joy and hope and the peace that's ours, knowing, believing, trusting in God's love for us. Years ago, I was marching down a street in Dallas. It was a civil rights march. The crowd was enthusiastic about that day, and we had a chanter beside us who led us in a responsive sort of reading or saying. He would say, and we would repeat, "I may be black, I may be white, but I am somebody. I may be rich, I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may be male, I may be female, but I am somebody. I may be young, I may be old, but I am somebody." And what he was hoping we would have instilled in our soul was that whoever we are, by God, we are somebody because we belong to God, and we can live in that spirit of affirmation. I pray that we live with that spirit and the calling to be followers of Christ and the connections that we have in the community of faith that's here and the unity we seek to build in the world and the love Christ commanded us to share in the world. As we live in the Spirit, with the Spirit, there's a unity in our faith together. In this room, I think, there are probably some Republicans and maybe some Democrats and maybe some Independents and maybe some, I don't really care, you know? But so what? More importantly, we are one in Christ. We are bound together in that spirit of grace and mercy. Now, I suspect you've noticed there's a division, or many divisions in our nation. There are those who are even talking about, maybe even hoping for a civil war. The coming election will give us a real strong, disgusting taste of that. The Russians and the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians are trying to use that election to divide us and weaken us as a nation. You know that. The news agencies, whether it's Fox News or CNN News, they make use of that conflict, that division, because they want to raise their ad revenue and they want to solidify their hold on their constituency, on their audience. And they stir emotions among us, between us, against us, over issues like abortion or sexual preference or immigration or Gaza, Israel, Taiwan, whatever. For us, there needs to be really a strong sense of cynicism, skepticism, as we hear all of that. By the power of the Holy Spirit, if we follow the commandment of Christ, we can continue, in spite of all that, in the spirit of love. With God's love, we can infuse the Holy Spirit of unity within our congregation, within our conversations, among our neighbors, and in the midst of our participation in this nation's democracy. Well, hear all manner of conspiracy theories. You know the source of many of those, and we all need to learn to discount those and trust in the spirit of truth. And living in that peace that's ours as we possess that blessed assurance given us in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do. And by God, I pray you do as well. By God, you have been given the Holy Spirit. You may not be speaking in tongues, which I'm grateful for, but by God, I have seen the Holy Spirit in you and among you. Paul writes in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit, Paul writes. That fruit of the Spirit, I see, I know, I trust, it abides in you and in this place. On this Pentecost day, I celebrate indeed that, well, actually I know that you believe in the Holy Spirit because you live as though that Spirit is within you, convinces you of the love of God, and causes you to care for one another, and through the ministries of this church, to care for so many in the community. I pray that you feel and celebrate that Holy Spirit as you truly enjoy the love given to you and the affirmation of who you are. Amen.